Amen. Let us just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we yield ourselves to you this morning for your word, Father, and those things that you would have to say, Father. I pray, Lord, that anything that is to be said, Father, should be said, and anything that shouldn't be said, Father, should be rebuked, Father, and keep my mouth closed, Father. I pray, Lord, we just look to you for everything that we have for in our lives, Father, and we know that you have delivered those things to us, Father, via your messenger for this hour. Help us to look into them, Father, and to know which way you should have us to go. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is a really long scripture, so you can be seated. This morning, I would like to speak to you not about a Mother's Day message, unfortunately. I didn't have that on my heart. But I do want to say thank you to all of our mothers. It is no doubt a privilege to honor you this Sunday. And let me just say that from a man's standpoint, we cannot do your job, period. Just so you know that. There's not even nothing that we can do that replaces a mom. You all know that. We all have mothers, amen? So thank you for your sacrifice in our lives, to pray for us, to have gotten us to this place where we are, to always be pointing us to the Word is the most important thing that you can do in any child's life. Amen. This morning's sermon is a lying prophet. Now, I'm not singling out any prophets per se. So, and Brother Branham also mentioned in his sermons multiple times that a prophet is a New Testament preacher. So this can be put on either the left foot or the right foot. In 1 Kings 13, we're going to read this story. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, and them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? And his sons had seen which way the man of God had went, which came from Judea. And he said unto his sons, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him an ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Thou art the man of God that camest from Judea? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. I didn't do the whole scripture, but before this, God told the man to go do a specific job and how to do it and how to also to return. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto them, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judea, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in this place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drank, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lions standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Amen. A lot of sermons have been preached with this scripture from Kings in the idea and the theme of being obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm sure all of you have heard it. And that is true. But we're going to go just a little bit different, okay? Brother Branham says here, how did they get the word? Did they form an organization? A bunch of men get together, priests, and say, now, brethren, we'll have a vote here, and is passed unanimously that we're going to have an organization called the Pharisees. And through that, God is going to work. Man is always trying to get in the way of God and help him out, right? So we're going to do this on our own. We're going to form this organization, and we're going to help God out. But that isn't how God works. Through that, God is going to work. They want God to do things their way. God never did do a thing like that. Never did. And what did he send them? He sent them a prophet. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet and raised him up right among them, a prophet, and anointed him and vindicated him right in the midst of all the other devils working with miracles and everything else because Moses stayed with the word. Now he's talking about Jannes and Jambres. Pick that bunch of people up and mixed multitudes started with them. So when they come out of Egypt, there was two million strong, and it was a mixed multitude. And when they got across towards the promised land, before they got there, his precious bride committed adultery with Moab. Tell me she didn't do it. How did she do it? A lying prophet against the word of God. Amen. Yet he had all the signs and all the rituals, ritualistics. He was just as spiritual as Moses, or just as well. Look, listen, listen close now. Here sit Israel in a camp, an interdenominational, right? What was it? They had anointed and had an anointed prophet with them. They had the pillar of fire. A rock that came out of to water them, and we're doing all right. And they had seven altars. That's perfect. On them altars went seven clean animals and rams, and the ram is represented. Ram represented the coming of Christ. Moab. What happened when Balaam went down there? He built seven altars also, exactly like they had. Don't talk to them fundamentally because you better know what you're talking about. Jesus said it almost deceived the very elected. It's spiritually revealed. You catch it, then it's the word. You see the word made manifest. Look here. There was up there was Moab, no doubt, but he was a bishop. Sure, great guy. And he built seven altars. He put seven rams on them, speaking that he believed that there was coming a Messiah. Brother, if they come to fundamentalism, God had to recognize both of them. When Cain built an altar to the Lord, Satan's son built an altar to the Lord as well. He built the same kind of an altar that Abel built. They both worshiped. They both went to church. They both paid their dues. They both were obligated. They got down and worshiped the same God. And one was received and the other was lost. How come? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And you know, over the last few sermons I've been talking to you guys about how to recognize Christ in our age. In our midst, in the body of Christ, right? It's not just the prophet. The prophet gave us the message. What do you do with it? Okay? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And that's from the spoken word as the original seed in 62. Brother Branham says here, that's the way the organization is, the church. It's got a right to these things, but you have been cheated out of it because you got away from God's word and God's spirit. the anointing to vindicate the word of the season. Don't fail to get this message. Notice what had taken place now. He said, I saw God, Micah did, sitting upon the throne in heaven. His council was gathered around him. He said, who can we get to go down and deceive Ahab and make Elijah's words come true? My prophet that was vindicated. I spoke that he would come, and Elijah had my word, and heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will not fail. I don't care how modern they get, or how good they get, or how educated they get, or how big they are, my words will never fail. And a lying spirit come up out of hell and fell down upon his knees and said, if you'll just permit me, I can give them my anointing and make them do anything, any kind of sign or wonder, just as long as I get them off the word. So what are we trying to strive to say this morning with all these quotes? They're kind of long stories, and I have 30 pages, so I'm going to keep going. When God comes to you and tells you, he says, don't listen to those lies. It's one word off is who? Satan's kingdom. Amen? So even if it was a prophet, an apostle, a preacher, a New Testament preacher, if they're saying anything but what the messenger has already bought, then what is it? It's a lie. And it causes you to veer off. As long as I can get them off of the word, he won't even know that is your word. He'll ignore it for popularity. Brother, times haven't changed, Brother Neville. That's true. You remember that's true. I'll get upon him and make him do the same things the rest of them does. I'll make him prophesy and tell a lie. How could it be a lie? Because it's contrary to God's word. Anything that is contrary to God's word is a lie. Amen. That's how Eve fell. Be wise to that. And when you hear something that's not right, you check it, and you know that it is contrary to God's word. Amen. You take any of those false baptisms, the false so-and-sos, I don't care how real it sounds, how much they try to impersonate, it's a lie if it's contrary to God's word for this hour. Amen. Amen. That's exactly. You say, we did this, and we'll do this, and our church is this way and that. I don't care what it is. If it's contrary to the written word for this hour, it's a lie. Yep. God will have nothing to do with it. No matter how sincere, how educated, how smart, how true it sounds, how reasonable it sounds, if it's contrary to the word of the hour, we'll get into that a little deeper in a few minutes. Time permits us. If we don't, we'll take it up again tonight. Notice, he was sincere. A good man, no doubt. He said, then otherwise Micah said to him, not right out to his face, but in other words, you're anointed with a lying spirit. And just like that prophet that went to the younger prophet, he was anointed with a lying spirit, and he knew it. Can you imagine? Deliberately to deceive that prophet. But it come from a prophet. How could it be wrong? It come from my preacher. How could it be wrong? And you listen to it, what happens? It's, in our age, it's spiritual death. It separates you from the word of God, because anything contrary is a lie. You're anointed with a lying spirit. Wouldn't that be something to tell a bishop? But he done it. And so the bishop walked up and said, you'll never have fellowship no more, and smacked him in the face. And you know that I'm a vindicated man. My church made me the head of it. You no doubt that young prophet that met the older prophet had heard of the older prophet. And why would he doubt the words from an older prophet? Why? If God changed his mind, he sent me a prophet to tell me. That ain't the way it goes, brother, sister. When God tells you to do something, you do it. The popular vote of God's people made me this. My organization made me this. And God gave us this land, and he intends for it to belong to us. And I have thus saith the Lord, and smacked him and said, which way the Spirit of God go when it left me? Amen. Anointed ones at the end time in 65. Brother Branham continues. Now, let's just take this for a moment. Now, the first thing you know, here comes all these people. They're high up, standing near the king's palace. There's the guards at the gate. There's the poor people on the outside listening. Here comes the prophet in, see? The word of the Lord comes back out. And the delegates of the king standing there saying, prophet of God, we know the word of the Lord dwells in you. What about the king? He's not coming off of that bed. Thus saith the Lord, he's going to die on that bed. All right, that settled it. Walks out of the gate, out to the gateman. I can see the gateman say, prophet of God, what saith the Lord concerning our king? He's a righteous man. He's a godly man. And he's lying there in the dead, there on the bed. What saith the Lord concerning him? Thus saith the Lord, he's going to die on that bed and not come off that bed. Walks on out to the poor class of the people, all of them standing out there weeping over the righteous king laying on the bed. Prophet of the Most High God. They had confidence in him. Isaiah, with his prestige as a prophet, said, what does the Lord say? Prophet of God, who the Lord is in his mouth, tell us what the Lord says about our king. It says, thus saith the Lord, he will die on that bed. He's not coming off of that bed. You think that that prophet was telling the truth? He was. God told him to go say it. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly and said, Lord, consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. And he prayed for 15 more years of life. And when the prophet had gone, now watch God's order. Why didn't he speak right back to Hezekiah? Hezekiah was talking to him. That wasn't his order. Do you believe? Hezekiah was a righteous man. How many believes that? Raise your hand, amen. He was a true worshiper of God, and he walked face to face with Jehovah. You believe that? Jehovah heard his prayer. Amen. Well, why didn't he just say, now look, Hezekiah, I heard you. Now you're coming off of the bed. Now Isaiah has done, went out and made all that prophecy. Can you imagine being that prophet? Going in and telling one thing and then having to go back and tell him a different thing? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he just tell Hezekiah, okay, you're good. There's no need for the man of God to come back and tell you that it's okay, right? That wasn't God's way of doing it. He went back out to the prophet and said, return and tell him that I have heard his prayer and he's going to live. Amen. That's the power of prayer. How did Hezekiah do that? Amen. He had a connection with God. Brother Branham says here, he spoke face to face with God, and he wasn't a prophet. You don't got to be a prophet to speak face to face with God. Now, here comes the prophet walking back. Oh, we're sore at heart. Well, no, Isaiah had to come back to face those people. No, it has been changed now. It's been changed now because he's going to live and not die. Walks into the gateman. What about it, Isaiah? What's the matter? He's going to live and not die. Walked on up to the uppity ups, and what about it? He's going to live. After he just said he was going to die. Is that right? What made the difference? Prayer changes things. Amen. Is that right? From death unto life, prayer changes things. That was the prophet that was very much embarrassed, no doubt, to go back as far as all as the people was concerned, but he had to do what God told him to do. Now look, some of these, this going on around, you always seek the face of God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you, don't you believe it. and you obey God. How many of you ever listened to Brother Branham's life story? It's very sobering. I listened to it a lot as a kid. What got him into that mess? Why did Hope have to die? Why did his baby have to die? Because he disobeyed God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you, don't you believe it. And you obey God. Will you do it? Be sure that you do it. I don't care who he is, how righteous he is, how much of a pastor he is, how much of a preacher, whether he's a prophet, what? He may be sent of God, a real, true, ordained prophet of God. But if God tells you something contrary to that prophet, don't you believe the prophet. So what is he saying? He's kind of referring back to this story in Kings. So if a prophet comes up to you and says, it's okay to do this or to do that or cut this, or you don't have to come to church, are you going to believe that? You believe God. How many believes that's true? Amen. In 1 Kings 13, a young prophet went down and prophesied against Bethel there and done some miracles. And the Lord said, Don't you eat or drink or come back another way from the way you went in. And a real prophet of God went and deceived that prophet. Is that right? Might as well be truthful. He said, the angel of the Lord met me and told me to tell you to come to my house. And he met me after he met you. And the prophet believed that prophet and turned and went back. What happened to him? A lion killed him. Is that right? And the old prophet wept over it. Sure, because he listened to a man instead of God. Amen. No matter who says anything, believe God first. And God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the Africa trip in 52. If you have a chance to read that, Brother Branham's also referring. I had to cut 7 pages out of here. He's talking about the trip when he went to Africa. His dearest friend, F.F. Bosworth, and a bunch of the brothers were over there. And they got Brother Branham to do something that God told him not to do. And they all nearly died when they got home. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If God tells you to do something and it lines up with his word, and then you have some other person, preacher, prophet, doesn't matter, your mom, your dad, come in and say to do otherwise. Well, I'm your mom. I'm your dad. You're going to listen to me. And it's against God's word. Don't listen to it. I would rather be in trouble with my mom and dad than to be in trouble with God. I would be rather be in against any man, any organization or group, and not listen to the Lord. Amen. No matter who says anything, believe God first. Amen. See, each had their own interpretation of the word. Isn't that today's problem? Every group has got a creed. Amen. That's the reason Israel didn't recognize Moses. And that's the reason the world didn't recognize Noah. And that's the reason all the prophets wasn't recognized. And I'll go on record to say this. And that's the reason people don't recognize Christ in us. They look past. Well, our creed says that, you know, it should be this way, and it's got to come through this group or this organization. They have their own interpretation of the word. But God in every age has had his Messiah. See, to reject Noah's message was to reject God. To reject the seventh angel's messenger in our time is to reject God. Amen. To reject Noah was to perish. To reject Moses was to perish. They were the anointed Messiahs for that age. Amen. The word that was promised for that age was manifested through those prophets. And when Jesus came, he was the fullness of the word. So where is Christ? Where are the Messiahs now? Right here. You say that is too big for us. We can't do that. That's what they said to Joshua and Caleb. Guess what happened to them? We can't do that. That's too much. But if you don't, guess what happens? Just like that young prophet. Amen. He was the fullness of the word. God himself made into a man's structure with bones and flesh. And the anointed one. And they should have seen that. But you see, their church world had so added here and taken away here and so forth until it was so messed up till they trusted in their church instead of the word. So just like that old prophet, when you try to come out of something and you're like, well, your pastor's like, if you leave, you know the price you're going to pay. Have you ever heard that? What is that? It's Nicolaitism. It's if God tells you to do something, you better do it, brother, sister. But you'll say, oh, the church has said, the pastor said, if I leave, bad things are going to happen. I've heard that so many times in my life, it makes me nauseated. Trying to control. If God tells you to do something, and if it's in the word and it lines up, then you know it's from the Lord, right? And when they seen their church anointed, then they thought something great was taking place. But when they seen the word anointed, then they said, that's fanaticism. God can't do that. He only worked through the prophet. And he can't work through you and I. There's no such thing as John 14:12. That's fanaticism. That's what they say. This man is a devil, a Beelzebub. Because it was so contrary to their church, their creeds, the church creeds and what they had done. And it was that way in every coming up a prophet and a church would be so messed up. God sent down his laws and gave them a covenant. And the priest would come in and cut away and add to and take away from here and make a creed out of it. It's what they do. And if they do, it shows you who they are. A creed is Nicolaitism. It binds the people to some idea or a saying, or whatever it is. It can be anything. Why do they do that? And then God would raise out of nowhere some anointed man that would raise up in the power of the Spirit, and he always was hated by the priest, by the kings. And where the false prophets wore their soft clothes and walked humbly and softly among the kings and the priests, to deserve big names and things. And the real true prophet came from nowhere, none of their organizations. Where was there any in the Bible where God ever took a priest and made a prophet out of him? Where did God ever take an ecclesiastical theologian, trained man, a theologically trained man, and make a prophet out of him? Never in the history of anywhere did he ever do it. In any age, he never did do it. He has got away from that system and bring it up, and that's the way he's done here. And that's from Who Do You Say This Is in 64. The prophet of this day is the Word. Amen. The teacher of this day is the Holy Spirit. Yep. That's right. The prophet today is not all these here different. Here is a Methodist prophet, a Baptist prophet, a Pentecostal prophet, all kinds of prophets around the country. But it still remains there one true prophet, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right, Jesus Christ. And he is the Word. So you have somebody come try to teach you something as far as a creed and say that this is Christ. This is the anointing. Does that sound right to you? And he is the word. That's right. He is the word, the anointed word of the hour. Notice him now. As we travel on, we find out that Joshua and Caleb, and then here comes Balaam, and he's a hireling prophet. He works for money. What did he do? Excuse me. He walked right over every word of God. And after God showed it to him, he represented the denomination today. We'll show that just in a few minutes. Dathan, and he was, and the what was the rest of them was. Now, Balaam represented the denomination. A person who ought or not ought to have known better. He knowed that was wrong. Balaam was a true prophet. Do you know that? Just like the story, older story in Kings. He was a true prophet. But what did he do after that? God gave him a warning, and still he walked right across that warning. He was so crazy about money and popularity that he could belong to them. And so is the churches doing that today. Walking right into that world council of churches. But we got to keep our doors open, so we're going to render unto Caesar what Caesar's. And we don't care what God gets. And their doors are still closed today. But you know what? Send your tithes in, brothers and sisters. Send your tithes in. The next Cadillac's coming out. I got to get my bills paid. Blasting across the country in signs and wonders in the last days. They rock right into it anyhow because they love the praise of man more than the love of the Word of God. Yes. Their doors are still closed, brother, sister. And that's from Who Do You Say This Is in 64. Now that's the question. Here's where I wanted to get to in Revelation 10. We'll get to it in a few minutes to another scripture. He said, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God ought to be finished. Sorry, that should have been in red. The mystery of God ought to have been finished with the seventh angel messenger. Was it? Here is the question. Is if you follow in that line in this hour, will it be finished? Will I find faith on earth? Will I find faith? Malachi 4 to be fulfilled in this time. To restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers, the original word, see? Reprobates, Jannes and Jambres, as they withstood. Now also, listen, 2 Timothy 3:8, as Jannes withstood Moses also in the last days, these same reprobates would come. Now see where it is. It says here, having a form of godliness, anointed ones. Now let's just go back and read it when you get home so that I can finish this out this morning, if I can. Reprobates concerning, now not reprobates in the living, they're fine, they're cultured man. You can't put anything against their lives. They live perfect, they walked humbly before God. Kinda. Cultured men. Now notice, when Moses went down to Egypt with the message of thus saith the Lord, and was vindicated, called on Israel, which was the people, not a church. Israel was a people, they never was a church. Because the word church means you're called out. They're called out ones. There were the people of God. Then when they became anointed under the word and called out, they became the church of God. And then they backslid. Because they believed not the word of God and listened to a false prophet. Yep. What was the lie? What did Balaam tell them? It was okay to take wives from over here and over there and to intermingle right? And listened to a false prophet. I hope that sinks in. Israel, being a people of God, came out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God, seen the signs and wonders of God. Isn't that a representative of our time? Those people that grew up under Brother Branham's ministry and seen the works done right before their eyes, and seen the signs and wonders. And then when God was moving on with them, a false prophet came in, anointed, and taught something contrary to the original word. And taught something that was contrary to the original word of God that they had heard. Is that a case today, if you've ever seen one? And I'm not just talking about an organization. I'm talking about many churches. And every one of them perished in the wilderness, besides the three people. Now hold it. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved by water, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, when there was three souls came out of Sodom, so shall it be in the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed. I'm only quoting the scripture, the Lord's word. Heavens and earth will pass away. Brother and sister, it will be a minority. Amen. You have people in this message that, well, if it's the bigger group, it's got to be right. Right? Is that going with the crowd? I'm not saying you have to be different. What I'm saying is, if the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it. But who is telling you something? Did you weigh it against the word? Did the Lord already tell you that through his messenger, the seventh angel prophet, these things? And then somebody comes along and says, well, you know, it's okay to stay home and not to assemble yourselves together. We're going to keep our doors closed, but keep sending your tithes. Hebrews 10:24. I didn't have this in there. And let us consider one another to prove unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another and to prove unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Right. Now, why would he say that, brother and sister? Think about it. As soon as he told you to not forsake yourselves, that you should be assembling yourselves together. Why? Because that's where Christ is. He's in his church. And say other things. Does that make sense? Are we listening to what God has already told us to do? It's a trap. It's a lie from the out of the pits of hell trying to get people to leave. And it has nothing to do with the church or men or groups, okay? Then that's his credentials. See, when we went through that last Sunday, many false prophets will rise. And we give the illustrations of how Balaam and Moses, both of them anointed with the same spirit. That's crazy. The same spirit. One of them said, we're all one. Let's come join, put our girls and all together, and we got pretty girls over here, and you boys come take here and take you nice wives. That's all right. We're all one people. Anyhow, the same race. God never did forgive them for it. They listened to that. Okay, let's go back. Remember the quarter. On one side's heads and one side's tails, right? One side's spiritual analogy. One side's natural. The prophet didn't tie him up and throw him over the mule and drag him back to his house, did he? No, he said the word, the God told me to tell you to come back. Willfully disobedient after the word had been vindicated. Then he crossed the separating line. Then he was ousted from Eden when he crossed. There is a line to where you just go so far. And if you would go any further over the other side, you're out. You know that, don't you? There is a line. If you don't believe it, you read Hebrews 10:26. That's the scripture I was referring to here. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Amen. So you go back and you read what Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another for so much more as you see the day approaching. And immediately after that, he says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's the New Testament, is that right? If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge that's been preached to you, read to you, proved to you, after we see the knowledge of the truth and you go ahead and unbelieve willfully, there is no more sacrifice for sin. But a fearful looking to the fiery indignation whose shall devour the adversary. Is that right? You can cross that line like the children of Israel did in their journey. Coming through the wilderness, Israel did the same. They heard Moses' message. And today we have heard Brother Branham's message and seen it vindicated. Listen to and then go and listen to a false prophet that said, oh, now look, children, we're all the same. We should marry among one another, and we should do this. And Moses had told them different and seen God vindicate it, because Balaam seemed to be a more instructive man than Moses was. He had come from a great nation where there was a great people, and was all organized together. The land of Moab, great armies and great things that the people in them days would have feared. And here come a prophet down, a prophet, anointed one, false anointed one. See, come down to an anointed one. Look how close. And taught the people. And many of them went after that. Don't you never forget that. See, went after the thing that wasn't the word. It was a creed. It's okay. You can do that. As long as you keep paying your tithes, coming to church, it's okay. We'll let those things slide. Don't you never forget that. See, went after the thing that wasn't the word, the vindicated, proven word. Don't let someone come in here and tell you something different. Watch what God is vindicating and proving. Now, if them people looked back and say, Moses, God appeared in the skies, and the man spoke into existence fleas, flies, frogs, and took them out of the existence, boils and diseases, and opened up the Red Sea, and we come and fed us the manna out of heaven. Oh, that's our prophet. But here come another prophet down. Glory to God, I'm a prophet too. Now you all, I'll tell you, you understand, I use better grammar than Moses. I am this way and that way, see, so forth. And the first thing you know, they fell for it. And every one of them perished in the wilderness. Not a one of them lived. Never did. They wouldn't be in heaven. Not one of them. Jesus said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. See, Pentecostals, right? See, they had really come through all the experiences. There our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. He said, and they are everyone dead. Death, eternal separation. They'll never rise again. Although they had been through all those experiences, figuratively speaking, they had been had spoken in tongues and danced in the spirit and everything. So what is Brother Branham talking about? He's a little bit back on, this is Power of Transformation in 65, Anointed Ones at the End Time. How that the spirits would be so close together, but it's okay to have gifts in the church. No doubt. I already preached that whole series, if you remember. As long as it lines up with the word. Amen? You can have both. But if it comes down to a choice to have, like, ooh, a good feeling, or, you know, speaking in tongues or dancing in the spirit, over choosing the word of God, which one will you choose? If you choose the word of God, what did he promise? All those things will be added unto you. But we have people in the message today, churches around the country, that spend 2 or 3 hours dancing around in the sanctuary and running around the building and yooping and hollering and singing and about 15 minutes of preaching. Does that sound right to you, brother, sister? Did they choose God and his word first and then add the joys of those things later? No, they're trying to manufacture something. They want that spirit. They want the feeling. But that's just human. But what about the true seed? That's us. It will happen just as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of the truth for the from the messenger of this age. Amen. Amos 3:7. Amen. In her will be the fullness of the Pentecost for the Spirit. We'll bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That's it. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. He's talking about that tree. Remember? He seen that tree in the brother's yard and had everything was grafted in. But it was living off of the vine, right? But if it ever puts forth a new vine, it will be the life from the vine, and the branch and the vine will match. That is, thus saith the Lord. And it is, thus saith the Lord, for what is what Joel 2:23 says. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pollen worm. My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now it says God is going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. The Wesleyan age did not restore. The Pentecostal age did not restore. But God has to restore, for he cannot deny his word. Remember, that was thus saith the Lord. This is not the resurrection of the church. It is the restoration of the church. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. Now notice in verse 25, it tells why we need restoration. The locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the pommel worm have eaten all but the root and a small bit of stem. Nearly gone. Now, we are told that all these insects are all one and the same in different stages. That is right. They are the Antichrist spirit manifested in organization, denomination, and false doctrine through the ages. And that poor little root and stalk is going to be restored. It looked hopeless, right? It's a small minority. It's a small group. You say, but everybody's over there following the prophet. But there's a small group, brother, sister. It's a small stem. And you say, it's hopeless. Why would we go there? But God will restore. God isn't going to plant a new church, but is going to bring his original plant back to its original seed. He is doing it, as we stated in verse 23, by the teaching, the former rain. Next will come the harvest rain. Have you guys, if you didn't, weren't here during Brother Brian's harvest rain series, was really good. Go back and read some and listen to it. The former rain. Next will come the harvest rain. Amen? We're there, right? The teaching rain has come. Now we're in the harvest rain, or the rapturing faith. Thus, at the very moment, we are in the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24:24. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And who is it that shall attempt to deceive the very elect? Why? The spirit of the Antichrist in false anointed ones of this day. These false ones have already come in Jesus' name, claiming that they have been anointed of God for the last day. They are false messiahs, anointed ones. They claim that they are prophets. But are they one with the word? Never. Can you take what the prophet actually brought us and then say something different? See how close it is? Creates a creed. A creed creates a fear, and it binds those people to that. Oh, we can't leave. Can't do this, can't do that. If the prophet don't tell us, or their pastor don't tell us what to do, they're lost. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. That's where we need to be, right? We need to be full of the Holy Ghost, that when we hear the Lord speak, we can do. Amen? That was Brother Branham's ministry, was to restore that little bitty vine and that one leaf that was left. False ones have already come in Jesus' name, claiming that they have been anointed of God for the last day. They are false messiahs. They claim that they are prophets. But are they one with the word? Never. They have added to it or taken away from it. No one denies that the Spirit of God is manifesting gifts is upon them. But like Balaam, they all have their programs, make their appeal for money, and exercise gifts, but deny the word or bypass it for fear that a controversy might diminish their church chances of greater gain. Yet they preach salvation and deliverance, and through the power of God, just like Judas did. Judas was anointed the same as the other 12 with a ministry imparted by Christ. But because they are wrong seed, constantly they have a wrong spirit motivating them. Brother Branham said this end time for us, brother and sister, would be spiritualism. It's religious. Oh my, they outshine the elect in effort and zeal. But it is Laodicean, not of Christ. For it looks for big crowds. Well, you know, if there ain't going to be 1,000 people there, I ain't going to show up. For big programs, we get results, don't we? We have to be of God. God's blessed our organization. We have more money than we can spend. And our doors are closed. we get results, don't we? We have to be of God. Now, therefore, we choose. I want to bring this thought. All along, we've been talking about the seed of the wheat being buried and then sending up its two shoots. Then the tassel, the true ear. This might make some wonder if we said that about the Lutherans that didn't have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, just because they taught basically justification. It might make some wonder about the Methodists, etc. No, sir. We are not saying that. We are not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age Luther had, the Spirit of God. But this, his age, was not the age of full restoration, but another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, Mueller, etc. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were. Amen. We've talked about that. You've heard me say it. Each age, if they accepted the word of the Lord for their age, they had the Holy Ghost, right? Yes, they certainly were. But the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration. That's why the apostles and every reformer back to Paul would love to have been in our age. Neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout and apostasy. This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. With this, it's all over. So we conclude the seven church ages saying only what the Spirit said to each age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I sincerely believe that the Spirit of God has been speaking to us, not only teaching us the truths of the ages, but he has been faithfully dealing with our hearts, that they may turn to him, that this is the reason for all preaching and teaching, for it is in the preaching and teaching of the word that the sheep hear the voice of God and follow him. Not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me or join my church or to start some fellowship or organization. I have never done that and will not do that. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I will be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and man. Yep. Not God and the church is a body or a huge or a group, or God and the organization, wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with his Spirit, and live according to his word. I would invite and plead and warn all that hear his voice at this time, yield your lives completely to him, even as I trust in my heart that I have given my all to him. God bless you, and may his coming rejoice your hearts. I love that. Amen. In Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read you one more quote. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger. Amen. We know who that was. The Lord Jesus. Using the vocal cords and the body of a man. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in some certain era. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said in 1 Corinthians 14:37. If a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. They're not a suggestion. Well, if it fits your pattern, okay, go ahead and put it on. What come the word of God out from you? Or came it to you only? They add here and take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has been one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul himself, the one telling you of this warning, if I come back and I'm not in my right mind and I tell you to do something that I have already told you to do, don't listen to me. But he's the apostle. Just like the story in the beginning, he was a prophet, a senior prophet. Could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers. And then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Brother, sister, we are in the harvest rain. Do we recognize Christ? I'm going to keep saying that until it just happens. Do we recognize Christ? Do we live a life where when we show up to church on Sunday, that there is a peace in every one of you? Because if there's not, the body isn't whole. The presence of God can't be felt if there's one piece missing. Amen? I hope that blessed your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you most of all for your prophet to this age, Father. Lord, we point to that message. We know, we see, we hear, but it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves us because we have the Holy Spirit, Father, that we see these ministries and these groups and these organizations taking away and adding here and destroying and hacking your word. Father, we pray, Lord, that whoever hears this, Father, may learn to grow, to only say what you have said, Father, to be able to hear your voice, Father, to know the difference, Father, and that we would not be deceived. We know we won't be. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless the mothers on this Mother's Day, Father. We truly thank them for the ministry that they've given. You've given to each one of them and our families, Father, that they teach our children, Father, our sons and our daughters, Father, the right ways. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the leading in your Holy Spirit, the word, Father, that was spoken today. Help it to sink deep into our hearts, Father, and we ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.